Today is about Noah being warned of God concerning the flood that was to come upon the earth. Last time we were dwelling out of the book of Genesis, we were speaking to you about Cain and Abel, how that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected. We stressed the point that even to this very day, this goes on, even in the house of God, and wherever people may assemble to worship, one is accepted and the other is rejected. God is a sovereign God and gives his grace to those whom he hath chosen in Christ from before the foundations of the world. And wherever these creatures may be upon the earth, there we have an assembly of the Church of Christ. This being accepted or rejected should bring home to us, what shall become of me? Most of you have assembled in the house of God from your infancy. You have been taught and brought up under the word of truth. And as you assemble, have you never the thought in your mind, does God accept me or does he reject me? There is a day coming, my hearers, when we will either be accepted or we will be rejected. That day is hastening upon each and every one of us. The day of death is coming to us all. And that day will decide whether we have been accepted in this life as we worship God. Then, when we come to die, we will be accepted by God and received up to be with him forever and ever. But if we have never been accepted in our worship, woe be unto us. Oh, what an eternity of misery awaits each and every creature that is found outside of Jesus Christ. Could I impress it upon you, my hearers? Could you but realize what that means? Oh, we think so lightly about these things. They do not even enter into our minds or into our thoughts. We wish to cast them away. But this is the truth of God's precious word, that in that day there will be a solemn separation, and that eternally and finally. There is a day of judgment coming, and oh, what a mercy if we have been accepted in this life, and then in that day to hear Jesus speaking unto us, come, ye beloved of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. But oh, think, my hearers, think seriously what it'll be to hear out of the blessed lips of Jesus, go away from me, ye accursed. I have never known you. Oh, may none of my hearers ever hear this terrible denunciation out of the precious mouth of Jesus. But we have been speaking to you then about being accepted or rejected. As we go into these chapters in Genesis, we find that various characters were born upon the earth. We read of Eve giving birth again and receiving another son called Seth. And she was delighted to receive him, for she thought that he was the promised Savior, as she had thought Abel was. God hath given me, in the stead of Abel, who had been slain by his brother, this son. And after Seth was born, we read, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Why do we read that here? Didn't God have his remnant? Didn't God have his people from the beginning of creation? Surely. But these people now were joined together, and they came forward in the midst of so much corruption and so much wickedness to gather together publicly to obey God and assemble and worship him. Therefore we read, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. There was then an outward church formed, and people assembled to worship God the way he had given it unto Adam to do so. And after this, my hearers, we have the genealogy of Adam. And so many patriarchs, they lived so many years, and finally they died. In this chapter, we have a number of them listed, and their lives, and those that sprang forth from them, and how many years they lived. But after each and every one of them, we read, and he died. This teaches us, my hearers, that death is certain. Regardless of how long we may live here upon earth, death eventually will take hold of us. There was only one amidst all these patriarchs that did not die, and that was Enoch. Enoch, amidst all the corruption and sin of the world at that time, was a man that walked with God. He lived, my hearers, 65 years, and then he also received a son called Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, he lived 300 years, and he walked with God, it says, 300 years. And after walking with God 300 years, God took him, and he was found no more. All the other patriarchs, they died. My hearers, death is the consequence of sin. Death is a separation of the soul from the body. Death is the way of all flesh. Death likewise is certain. Oh, it is also uncertain as to the time and as to the way and the manner in which we must die. But we see it round about us. We see it in our own congregation, then this one, then that one, is attacked sometimes with dreadful diseases, and soon they pine away. There are many sitting amongst my hearers who have lost their partners in life. Death came and eventually took their lives from off this earth. They were made widows or widowers. This teaches us a solemn truth, my hearers. It isn't a very pleasant subject to speak about death, but it is the truth of God's word. And this eventually will take place with me and you. Oh, how shall it go with you and I when we die? Solemn thought, my hearers. Have you ever stopped to consider it? Oh, we are healthy, we are young, we are well. But oh, we know not what a week will bring, honestly. You see that around you. Oh, how thankful we should be every day if we have health, if we have strength, and our children are well. We have so many reasons to be filled with gratitude to God, but how indifferent we are, how unconcerned we are, and how little do we thank God for what we have in this life. Oh, when you visit hospitals and people that have been afflicted in a terrible manner, and then it comes home a little bit, and you begin to realize, why am I not laying there? Why have I not been afflicted in that manner? But otherwise, as we live our daily life, we think very seldom of those things. We have to be brought into those places where we see what sin has brought upon mankind, and then we realize the consequences thereof. Oh, my hearers, the death then is going to take you and I. Who knows who's going to be next? It's most certain. We are all here today. Probably next Sunday there might be one or two missing. We know not. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe you, it may be me. Oh, it makes a great difference how we die, my hearers. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, they are. Or to die as Moses died. How did he die? The Lord kissed him to death. The Lord buried him in a certain place, and nobody could find his grave to this day. Oh, what a blessing to be upon a deathbed, encircled by the arms of the Almighty God, and to have his love shed abroad in your soul. Now, that is no death, my hearers. That is a departure from this life unto eternal life. But oh, what an awful thing for creatures to come upon their deathbed, and then it pleases God to open their conscience. Then their past life arises up in their view, and all their sins which they have committed appear so great. And all they tremble, they are filled with agony and fear and dread to meet their Maker, their Creator. Oh, solemn thought. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy use these solemn words that you may have no rest until you may find Jesus in this life. For if you find him, you find life eternal. This man Enoch then, in the midst of this corruption that was going on in the world, for the world wasn't too old yet, my hearers, but it was already filled with sin and iniquity. And this man, he shone as a star amongst all these people. He was a man that walked hand in hand with God. As a little child walks with his parent, so Enoch walked with God. He talked with him, communed with him. God was uppermost in the heart and in the life of this man, Enoch. He walked by the Spirit. He walked in the light. And he enjoyed in secret communion with his God. Oh, what a blessed life. You know anything about it, my hearers? You know it's hard to find a person today that's walking with God. But every child of God experiences something of this, walking with God. If God gives unto a person a new life, and that person is given to experience that the love of God is shed abroad in his soul, and that person is so taken up with God that he forgets everybody else. Oh, he delights himself in God. Enoch, he walked by faith, and so God's children at times, they can walk hand in hand believing that God loves them and he loves them and they love him. Oh, what a wonderful life this is when we, by the grace of God, are given to live in this way. Oh, it doesn't last too long with some of God's children, but they know thereof. Oh, they long again and again for those times that they believed that they were in the immediate presence of God, that he was around about them, that his eye was upon them. And they believed that he was shining down into their souls, revealing his love and his pity and his mercy to them. Oh, what a blessed life this is, my hearers, to walk with God. If we are walking in this way, and death should overtake us, it is not death, my hearers. All fear of death is departed. For where perfect love is, there's no more fear. Not even the fear of death. We long in that state to be with God. Death would be falling asleep and being eternally with God. This man then, he experienced something that only two others experienced. Elijah and Christ himself. Paul says that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This man then, he tasted not death, but he was taken by God himself immediately into glory. Oh, what a wonderful way to go out of this life. I don't think any of us will ever experience something like that. We never read thereof in these times. But oh, if God should take us, my hearers, by the hand of death. If you are in Christ, you are saved. But if you are outside of Christ, oh, you most certainly shall be damned. Now that's the scripture, my hearers. Now this man then, he shone brilliantly in the world. For 300 years, he testified and witnessed against sin. I believe he was like Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And he became so weary of this earth, he became so longing for his eternal home, that God took him to be with him forever and ever. He was then delivered from all wicked creatures and sin which his trouble was, and given to enter into glory. And this man Enoch, he was a sinner like you and I. 65 years he probably lived, just like everyone else does in this world. And when he became 65 years of old, God put grace into his soul. God taught him that there was a Savior coming, Jesus Christ. And his faith rested upon this Savior. His trust was in him, believing that he would come into this world and die for his sins. And it was by faith that Enoch walked with God. And after this, my hearers, we find that Methuselah, he lived the longest here upon earth. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. And Methuselah had a son called Lamech, and Lamech had a son called Noah. And Noah, he was 600 years old, and he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we find that when people began to multiply upon the earth, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of the children of men were fair to look upon, and they began to marry. And when they had children, these children were like giants. They were great in stature, and they were men of renown. Here we have the sons of God looking upon the children, the daughters of men, and finding them to be fair and marrying them. What does that teach us? We have here, my hearers, a subject of intermarriages. These sons of God were brought up and taught the true religion. They were instructed by their parents. But now when they became older, they seen the daughters of the children of men, that they were fair. And they departed from worshiping God. They took these fair daughters, and they married them, and went in unto them, and had children with them. And my hearers, what happened? Religion began to depart from the earth. It became so bad that there weren't any people anymore praying. There weren't any people anymore worshiping God. This chapter teaches us that all people had corrupted themselves, and all flesh had corrupted itself, and the earth was filled with violence. How did it get that way? It got that way by intermarriages. A solemn subject, my hearers. There are so many that are born and brought up and taught the true knowledge of God, just like these that lived before the flood. And when they grow older and they see some pretty girl, or some girl sees a handsome young man, this girl or this handsome young man never went to church, never was taught the true knowledge of God, cared not about God. How many characters have we like this in the world today? And we find them marrying them. And what happens? They depart from religion. They don't go to church anymore. They don't read their Bibles anymore. They don't pray like they were taught by their parents anymore. All forgotten. All forsaken. This is what happened in the beginning, my hearers, before God brought the flood upon the earth. And as I was dwelling upon this with my mind, I began to think of how it is taking place in the world today. This is the trouble that we are having, so much juvenile delinquency. Why? Intermarriages. People having children. They bring the children up. The one never went to church, and the other one did. They argue between themselves, the parents, where they should send their children, whether they should send them to this church or that church. And while they argue amongst each other, there isn't much necessary for either one of them to depart. Neither one of them go to church anymore, and they leave their children grow up without going to church likewise, without being instructed in the true religion. And as these children grow up, where are they? Why do we have so much crime in our country? Because parents let their children run wild. That's what happened before the flood, my hearers. Oh, how many marry into another faith. Oh, they marry creatures that have been taught to worship what? They worship idols. They make crosses. They bow before images. They say prayers to the dead. They have beads hanging around their necks, what they call prayer beads. Some of the Protestants marry these characters and depart from what they have been taught from their youth. This worship, my hearers, is but a mockery. And then there are others, Protestants. Oh, sad to say. There is so much that goes under the name of Christianity in our days. If you only go to church, that's all that's necessary. They have bowling alleys. They have dances, they have card parties, anything to get the people to come to church. They got the whole world in the church. That's what's going on today. You know that just as well as I do. And now, should you have a boy or a girl that's growing up in our Bible class, and they meet somebody that goes to this kind of worship, and they marry somebody like that, you know, that's so enticing. That's so easy for our people to depart. You know, most of our children think we're too strict. They think they would like to get to that age that they could get away from under father and mother and do as they please. And what happens? They do. They marry. And away they go. And what happens to these children? They forsake God and his religion, and you never find them in a place of worship anymore. Oh, how sad it is, my hearers, when this takes place. And believe me, this is taking place in the world today. And this is what took place before God brought the flood upon the earth. Oh, all flesh had corrupted itself before God. What a terrible state and condition was the world in at this time. And now there was one man named Noah. Amidst all this taking place, God looked down in mercy upon Noah. And Noah found grace in the sight of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is, my hearers, to find grace in the sight of God. Was it of Noah? Was it because he was walking different than the rest of the people? Because he was living different? Because he prayed maybe and he worshiped God a little on the side? No, my hearers. This grace is the free, undeserved, unmerited favor and love of God. There isn't anything in you or I that can cause it to flow or bring it out. Not a thing. But it flows freely out of the heart of God. I will be gracious unto whom I will, and I will have mercy upon whom I will. And he gave mercy, he gave grace unto this man Noah. Amidst this world which was hastening towards its destruction, this man found grace. Have you found grace in the sight of God, my hearers? Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when you think it's so free, so undeserving. And this grace, my hearers, is the fountain of our eternal salvation. It is by grace that ye are saved and not of works. All this free, this rich, this sovereign grace that flows to poor sinners in this world. Oh, if you are a subject of it, you will wonder and marvel at times that God would ever have anything to do with the likes of you, and that he continues to have something to do with you, and that he never will leave you or forsake you, because he has a purpose of salvation towards you. Oh, my hearers, this man Noah, he was commanded by God amidst all the corruption that was going on to build an ark. For God came to Noah and warned him and said unto him, all flesh has corrupted its way before me, and I will destroy man and all the beasts that I have created from off the face of the earth. He then spake unto Noah concerning the judgment that was to come. He warned Noah what was going to take place. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and unto them he revealeth his covenant. If you may be a child of God, then God at different times reveals secrets unto you, things that other creatures are never taught. For this man was given to know this, and this man, he likewise was a holy man. He walked with God just like Enoch. For this man, Noah, he was then told by God that this flood was going to come upon the earth. This man then, he began to do what God commanded him to do. He was told to build an ark for the saving of himself and of his wife and of his family. God gave unto him the dimensions of it, how big it should be, and how wide it should be, and how high it should be. This ark took 120 years to build. According to Peter, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and God in his long suffering and in his forbearance spake by the mouth of Noah unto the people. God says, my spirit will not strive anymore with man. Man shall only live to be 120 years. God strove by his spirit through the preaching of Noah unto the people that lived before the flood. Noah spake to them and warned them and admonished them in love to turn from their sins, because there was a judgment coming. And how did the people receive the message? Did they believe him? Oh, he was sincere. He was honest. He was upright. He did what God told him to do. But the people, they spurned his message. They went on in their sins. They hardened themselves therein. The Spirit strove with them, but they hardened themselves against all what Noah spake. My hearers, there isn't a more terrible judgment than to have the Spirit of God warning us and we hardening ourselves under it. Oh, there isn't an awful judgment on earth worse than a hard heart. He who hardeneth himself shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And now you and I, my hearers, we all have this hard heart by nature. And as these people were warned by the mouth of Noah, so you have been warned time and again by the servants of God that there is wrath coming upon this world, that God is going to burn this world up with an awful fire, that the word has come, flee ye, flee ye, for wherefore will ye die? Oh, my hearers, how have you received the message? Has it made any effect upon you, or have you hardened yourselves under it and put it away from you, just like these people before the flood? What did they do? They married, and they went to dances, and they enjoyed themselves in the pleasures of this world. And suddenly, the judgment came. So it will be before Christ comes to judgment. They will be giving in marriages, and they will be living according to the course of this world. And then suddenly Christ shall appear in the clouds to judgment. Oh, how many warnings have you and I had in this lifetime, my hearers? And they have not taken any effect upon us. It is just like these people. They went on in their sins and did not listen to Noah. And Noah, he began to build this ark according to divine direction. God gave him the dimensions of it and told him how to build it and what he should put on the inside of it. And God told him likewise that he would cause all the animals that were upon the earth, male and female of each species, to come unto him, and that he should gather them into the ark and take enough food for him and his household and for the animals. This man was obedient then unto God. He commenced to build this ark. It was an immense ship, I would say. If you want to call it a ship, resembled more a house. It had a flat bottom on it. It didn't have any points in it so that it would cut through the water. It was shaped just square. It was in the neighborhood of 500 and some feet long, in the neighborhood of 90 feet broad, and in the neighborhood of 30 some feet high. Now, this ark was a boat that could carry somewheres around 80,000 tons, enough room and space for all what was needed and which God was going to bring unto Noah. And you may be sure, my hearers, that many people worked in building this ark. Noah had to have men to work with him to build this tremendous ship. And you may be sure that many people called this Noah a fool. They didn't believe that he was telling the truth. They mocked him, they despised him, they ridiculed his message. But Noah by faith built the ark. Noah by faith believed God, obeyed God, and did as God dictated to him. No matter what people said of him, and no matter how many people came up against him, Noah, he believed God. Have you ever had any faith and exercised, my hearers? Have you ever been given to believe? Oh, that's such a wonderful thing. To believe. You know, that carries us above all our doubts and all our fears. It carries us above all what people think or say about us. And it gives us to believe that that God who has shown mercy to us is a faithful God. He will fulfill his word which he has spoken unto your son. He would fulfill the word that he had spoken unto Noah. And the end of all flesh had come before the sight of God. It repented God that he had made man, and he decided to destroy him from off the face of the earth. What does that mean? It repenteth God that he made man. Can God have repentance like me or you? You know, when we do something wrong in this life and it's brought home to us, then we're sorry that we did that. But you know just as well as I do that God can't do anything wrong. God could never have any repentance in that way as you and I have. God could never be sorry for anything that he did. But when we read that it repented God, then we must take it in this way, that God looked down upon what he had made, and that God decided that the end of it should come, and that God likewise is a God that hears and answers prayer. For God is filled with pity and compassion. As you know, he sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach to these people. And Jonah had a message that in 40 days, Nineveh would be destroyed. But when God seen these people repent, and when they began to cry unto him, then God repented of the evil that he intended to bring upon them. The God then is filled with compassion and pity towards mankind. And in this way, we must think of the word repent concerning God. It repented God that he had made man, for he seen what man had become, how corrupt he had made himself upon the face of the earth, that the imagination of his heart was deceitful and desperately wicked from his youth up. This was the condition of mankind before the flood. Oh, what an awful condition was this world in at that time. It was hastening itself and making itself right for its destruction. And my hearers, is the world at this present time any different? Oh, just take a view of it, generally speaking. Oh, how corrupt has this world become. Take up your daily newspaper and what do you read? Murder, rape, robberies, all kinds of things breaking out, and no one knowing what to do concerning it. Meetings being held, men with wisdom and understanding gathering together to try to fathom a way whereby they could stop these crimes that are taking place. And still they multiply and increase. The reason why? Religion is but false. Religion is departing from this world. That is true religion. We need not go any further than our own heart. How far are we living from God? How little do we enjoy of the presence of God under the means of grace? How little do we walk with God and talk with him in secret and commune with him. Oh, there is a general departure from God in the world today. And how soon that God will come and visit this earth with his judgment, we know not. But surely sin is the destruction of a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. View it, our wonderful nation, departing more and more from God. We see it in the government that we have that is ruling us this very day. How America has departed from the principles of Protestantism upon which it was grounded. And what God has in store for us, we know not, but we may live in great fear that God might yet come down and visit us in his judgment and in his wrath. My heroes, my time is gone. We will continue next week from this point, the Lord willing, concerning what happened to these people and how that God keeps his word, whether it be in wrath or in love. That's all for today.